Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. You're listening to American Family Radio. I'm Tim with Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Walker Wildman is here. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning.
By the way, I'm not going to pretend that I haven't said good morning to y'all earlier. Because I see it.
We've been in meetings for,
and everything.
For
so
2 hours.
I don't know, is that kind of phony for me to say good morning?
No, you just good morning, you know, kind of like welcome to the program, welcoming our listeners.
Okay, well, good
I don't
morning.
Think it's phony at all.
I love
you, Tim. I just want to say
You're
air.
Not a phony kind of guy.
Okay. Well, I feel better about it then. Good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
Good morning, Tim.
Also, Fred Jackson, news director for American Family Radio News.
Bonjour, Tim.
In good Nova Scotia English.
That's good Nova Scotia Acadian.
Acadian.
Related to the Cajuns of Louisiana.
So do you in Nova Scotia, is it French, English?
We have French sections of it, Cheticamp and Cape Breton, and down along the Fundy Shore in Nova Scotia.
Fundy
Shore, Bay of Fundy.
So is all fundamentalists live there? That's it?
Yeah, that's fundamentalist Acadian.
down there where the Fundies live.
But there are Cajuns, and our folks in Louisiana are related.
They traveled from there, didn't they?
They traveled from up there when they underwent persecution from the English.
I remember that. I learned that in the third grade. We spent a whole quarter studying the Acadian culture.
Yeah.
I remember that from the third grade.
You have good memory.
Well, I've forgotten a lot more than I remember, but that stuck with me.
Yeah, absolutely. And worked for 5 years in New Brunswick, which is, a lot of people don't realize this, it is the only official bilingual province in Canada is New Brunswick. So you have a mixture of Acadians and you have a mixture of...
Oh, it's the only official bilingual?
Official bilingual. Now, the country is officially bilingual, but New Brunswick is the only official province where...
Now, Quebec is French only? I mean, that's official language, or is that... Part of the controversy.
That's the major language.
Yeah.
But there's been big controversy in Quebec because when the more separatist-leaning governments get elected in the province of Quebec, they outlaw, like in Montreal, there are businesses not allowed to have English signs in the window.
Yeah.
That's against the law. So they're their own people. The Acadians don't like to be mixed in with the Quebecers.
Is it
Tell
true?
Me when that, I can have a question.
Otherwise,
I'm just going to. I feel like I have a potted plant here.
Just as one quick question, because I'll forget it. The Montreal Canadiens hockey. Yes. Back to hockey, Tim. I'm sorry, but
the Habs.
The Habs. Are you required if you play on the Canadiens? Are you required to be able to speak French?
No.
No. Okay.
No. You're going to ask a guy from Alberta to be. Become bilingual.
Yeah. Okay.
It's like any other sport. All they care is you can score.
That's right. That's right.
That's
okay.
All they care.
I'm done with that whole thing, Tim.
Okay. All right. Well.
But welcome.
But good morning, Fred.
We'll start all over again.
Not to belabor the issue here. I do find that interesting. The people of South Louisiana, the Cajun people. I guess you would find also some in South Mississippi who bleed over from the Louisiana. That does trace it. They do trace their roots back to
the Acadians
in Canada.
In Canada, yeah.
And that's why there's French.
Yeah.
Is exactly important part of their history and culture.
Yep.
Well, that was quite a weather. Whiplash, wasn't it?
Huh? Oh, my goodness. Going down to New Orleans?
Yeah, from Nova Scotia, end up in New Orleans?
Uh-huh.
All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio.
I'll just say this one thing. It shows you they were running, fleeing from persecution.
Yes.
It shows you what people will do to be free.
Yeah.
They'll go from Canada down to the bayou.
Right.
You know,
where the humidity is.
Where the humidity and the mosquitoes 300%. Carry off little children. Yeah. You know, they're big enough. But you do that. You do what you have to be free.
Watch our Facebook page light up now.
Yeah.
Well.
Tsetse flies.
All right, Walker, what are we doing on our Today's Issues Facebook page? So what? How are we helping with world peace?
Yes, we are promoting world peace across the realm of the internet, Facebook. So we're on Today's Issues Facebook page. We haven't talked about any news stories. I'm going to post all
the news
stories.
We talked about French Arcadian history.
Have
you put that up there?
I need to find out what source we're getting there.
All right, well, Fred can tell you.
Fred's our source.
Maybe Wikipedia. I'll post all the news stories, and then, of course, we're live streaming on Facebook, so you can watch the show and comment, share your thoughts on the news stories.
What we're going to do, too, so if you want to watch the show today live, go to our Today's Issues Facebook page, and you can comment on the stories there, comment on the things we talk about as well. And what we're going to do soon, I don't know what day we're going to do this exactly, we're going to take half an hour and just take questions on our Facebook page. And answer them here on the air.
Cool.
So I don't know what day we're going to do that. It doesn't have to be related to any particular issue, although you can ask issue. You can ask us.
Will this go over the radio network, or will this just be?
We got to figure that out. Okay. We got to figure that out. But we do want to, acknowledge the folks who do watch us and post things on Facebook. And we can, if they want to ask us about our families or things like that. I'm saying it would be a more casual. Half an hour than we normally would do here. Mm-hmm. And we would just hope that in that half an hour, Kim Jong-un doesn't fire a weapon and mess up the whole thing. All right, Fred Jackson, what's going on?
Let's start with a great news story.
Please do.
Congresswoman Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee,
mm-hmm.
Well-known, very conservative, very pro-life. Well, she got into a battle the other day with Twitter. Twitter did not want to run an ad. She's going to run for the seat being vacated by Senator Bob Corker. And so she was running an ad that really championed her pro-life views in that ad. And Twitter didn't like what she had to say about abortion and the sale of little baby body parts. And so they allowed her to run the ad on her own personal Twitter accounts, but they wouldn't allow it to run in other areas of Twitter. Well, yesterday, Twitter had a change of heart, and now they're willing to run her ad. She's very pleased with that, and she's been on Fox last night and again this morning, and she's telling folks and congratulating Americans. Americans, she said, spoke out, and we have a little bit of her interview this morning from Fox News.
The American people just have risen up, and I said, this is our first Senate conservative victory because we stood firm and Twitter reconsidered, and they are going to allow us to put my campaign announcement back up to push it out on their platform, which is exactly what we're going to do. Social media and Twitter are important platforms, but the liberal left cannot continue to think they have the right to censor free speech, mm-hmm. and especially with campaign messages with which they disagree.
Hmm. That's Marsha Blackburn, the congressman from Tennessee. She's a friend of mm-hmm. ours here. She's been on our program several times. And as far as you know, Senator Bob Corker, who's been into it with President Trump the last few days, announced that he wouldn't run again.
That's right.
And so is that for 18?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So do you know if any other candidates have announced they're going to run besides Marsha Blackburn?
So far, no. Okay. No one else.
I think she's got a really, really good chance to win that.
Mm-hmm.
And she is a solid conservative.
She will. And I think this is part of, Steve Bannon has been on, I think, Fox News the other day. Remember when Steve Bannon left the White House? He stated publicly, he said, I can do more for the White House, the Trump administration, mm-hmm. outside the White House than in. He basically has declared war again against the Republican establishment. And he made it very clear in an interview, I'm not sure it was Hannity or Tucker Carlson's show the other night, that they're going to go into the Arizonas of this world and other places, and those incumbents that Steve Bannon and others believe that aren't doing their job for the American people, they are going to find candidates to run against the incumbents next year.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's just becoming more and more clear for constitutionalists,
mm-hmm.
Conservatives who are also constitutionalists, that the establishment is as much of an opponent as the Democratic Party, the Republican establishment, the GOP establishment, because, you know, this is, you know, for most of those who voted for candidate Trump to make him President Trump, they wanted to see X, Y, and Z accomplished. President Trump promised, and now, you know, his promise to drain the swamp, and we've all made comments on this show. The Republicans are as much a part, the Republican establishment is as much a part of the swamp as Democrats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is, it's not really a matter of party. It's a matter of what people are in Washington to do.
Yeah.
And when we say establishment, we're talking about the professional political class who want to be there for the rest of their lives.
Yep.
And so their main concern is to accomplish that. And to accomplish that, you have to get reelected, and that means you play the game, you don't upset the apple cart, and any other metaphors I can set.
Bannon even said,
I've never seen an apple cart, though. Have you?
No, I haven't. Just because they're so easily upset.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's an inanimate object that gets easily upset.
Yes, that's right.
It's one of the few
kind of snowflake carts in the cart world of carts. Upset. The apple cart is they're considered snowflakes. Easily upset.
Very emotional. Go ahead, Fred.
Returning
on with the news.
Returning to the story.
Ed's the one who said upset the apple cart.
Bannon went as far in that interview the other night to say, the only incumbent who is safe in his eyes from the wrath of Steve Bannon is Senator Cruz in Texas. He said all the rest are on my list.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I'm predicting with the Tea Party and with the Senate, it's hard to beat an incumbent. Mm-hmm. It is hard. They have the money. They have the name recognition.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're about to see another historic election cycle beyond 2016. You're about to see maybe a dozen or more incumbent senators, Republican senators, if there's that many running for re-election in 18. If not, between Democrats and Republicans, they're all part of the swamp.
Mm-hmm.
You're about to see a dozen or more lose their seats to Tea Party types like Marsha Blackburn and Judge Roy Moore in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
The American people know what's going on, and I've said anywhere that Mitch McConnell sends his money to support, any incumbent senator that sends his money, that gets Mitch McConnell's money for re-election, that's poison for your re-election bid, because the American people see that as the swamp. It's the swamp money coming to my state and fighting for their own. So
you think it'd be wise for these Republican incumbents not to take money from Mitch McConnell?
Yes, if you want to be,
and you're talking about from the Republican National Committee,
right? Well, the Senate Leadership Fund,
the
RNC, they don't, from what I know, they don't get in primaries. They fight for Republicans in general elections, but groups like the Senate Leadership Fund and other groups do fight for incumbents,
which spend a lot of money on Luther Strange,
$30 million,
Judge Roy Moore,
right? Mm-hmm. They spent $30 million.
Was it 30?
$30 million.
Are you sure about that?
Yes. Well, the Senate Leadership Fund specifically out of their bank account was $8 million.
Mm-hmm.
But then Karl Rove and some of the other big wigs spent $22 million.
Can you imagine?
Right.
For a primary?
Yeah, for a primary against a constitutional and you know, by all, you know, other measurements, Luther Strange was, you know, probably a fine man and those kind of things, but it was clear he was going to be a part of the establishment.
Yep. Right.
Very interesting.
But he was also supported by Donald
President Trump. Yeah, that was a whole bizarre thing.
That was strange. By the way, Susan Collins, one of the far left in the Republican, is announcing on Friday whether she will run.
She's from Maine.
She's from Maine. And she may run for governor because the current governor, who is a good friend of President Trump, he cannot run again. And so, but if Susan Collins decides she's not going to run for senator again and she's going to run for governor, he may run for the Senate seat.
So trade places.
Trade places.
That probably would be a good move for Susan Collins. Mm. I don't know. She's been in Washington for years and years.
What about this fella? Is he more or less conservative than her?
He's very conservative. He gets in trouble with the media all the time, which makes him a good guy, I guess.
Hmm. Well, that would be a pickup then
sure would.
For the conservatives in the United States Senate. Well, we mentioned this before, and only belaboring the point, but until the Senate changes their rules and get rid of the 60-vote threshold, they will pass nothing. They will pass nothing. Did I say that?
You did.
Okay.
But it was worth repeating.
So good luck. Good luck.
Well, and to Walker's point, I think the American people are catching on to what's going on. They realize President Trump is banging his head against a wall, and he's not getting any cooperation. It becomes more and more clear to people that members of the Senate and the Republican establishment are more in love with the rules of the Senate than they are in getting something done. I would say the one factor that might mitigate against Walker's prediction is that most Americans also love money coming to their state. Mm. They love pork.
They all do.
They don't want anyone else getting pork. That's why they want to cut the government. Conservatives, I mean, we need to slash government spending. But I want the money for our park, you know, coming. Mm-hmm. And so they vote for their own senators. That's why it is hard to beat an incumbent.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. Because the next round of every 2 years you have 1/3 of the United States Senate up for election,
right,
or reelection, and so that's next year, November of 2018, you will have more Democrats at risk. Though even though they don't have as many now, they've only got 48. They'll have more at risk than the Republicans. True, Walker?
Is that right? Yes, that is
that's correct.
Do you know how many more they all have?
Is it 20-plus Democrats?
I want to say 18 came to mind.
Yes.
How many Republican incumbents are up next year?
I am going to check.
About five or ten.
Okay. So Democrats have much more to lose, though, next year.
Well, you have Luther Strange, which that's been decided as far as the Republican side. You have Jeff Flake, you have Dean Heller, you have
are you mentioning
Republican,
the Republican incumbents?
Yes.
Okay.
You have Senator Wicker from Mississippi.
Grassley.
You have Grassley. You have Corker just dropped out.
Mm-hmm. And Collins may drop out.
Collins is up for reelection, so that's seven.
But you got a bunch. You're saying you got how many Democrats?
I think you have 12 or 18. Eight to twelve.
Boy, Democrats! I tell you what, you're talking about the Republicans being, a little bit in.
Okay, currently Democrats are expected to have 23 seats up for election, along with two independents who caucus with them. So that's like 25 liberals. Republicans are expected to have 8 seats up for election, with one of those being an open seat as a result of Tennessee Senator Bob Corker's shock decision to not seek re-election.
Well, you could have, if that's the situation, the Republicans, let's just say they pick up 5.
Of the Democrat 23.
Of the Democrats 23 and don't lose any of their own.
Some of those are in states that President Trump won.
8 to 10 of them, I think. Let's just say the Republicans pick up 5. You're talking about moving to 57 votes in the U.S. Senate for Republicans to 43. That's a pretty substantial margin. Now the Democrats would still, if they held firm, would still be able to block everything the Republicans want to do because of the 60 votes.
The key. This is really a long term game. The key is getting enough senators, 15 to 20 or more senators, who are like Ted Cruz, like Judge Moore, who will fight for what they believe in. Because even if you get 55 to 57 Republican establishment guys up there, they're still not going to do anything.
Well, yeah. Here's the good thing. We're talking about the good thing is that President Trump can do a pretty good bit on his own with the executive branch of the federal government. So that's the good thing, and that's huge. Had Hillary Clinton been elected president, oh my word, it would have been awful, and we would have been under attack here at the conservative. You're talking about the IRS scandal from a few years ago. That'd have been general operating procedure. Just go after conservatives, go after Christians in every way you possibly can, using the executive branch of the federal government, which includes all the agencies and so forth and so on. I think that absolutely would have happened. But she didn't win. And the Supreme Court would have been lost for a generation. It would have been awful had she won on many levels. I'm talking about move out of the country. I'm talking about considering moving out of the country. I'm not exaggerating much, I guess you could say. But she didn't win, so the Supreme Court is saved for now. And maybe we can return some sanity to the federal bench with President Trump appointing good judges all across America. Mm-hmm. But you're right, he has been at odds with the Republican establishment. Some, not all of them, but some. Let me just say this, too. Before we say, and you guys don't throw things at me here because you're going to think Tim's defending the establishment. Okay, so he's not a rebel enough here. Listen to what I'm saying. I don't know if it's fair to blame the quote Republican Party. Okay, for in this way, this is what I mean. For example, let's take the overturn or repeal of Obamacare, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, you had 95% of the Republican senators voting for it. You just had three or four, like McCain, Susan Collins,
Murkowski,
who voted again. They're the ones who caused it to go down to defeat, them and the Democrats. So you see what I'm saying here? The vast majority of Republicans voted to repeal.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
It's not fair to say
you're a member of the swamp.
Yeah.
Well, no, that is a good point. That is unfair because they did. Now, here's my only question, and I don't know the answer to this. These guys, when I say these guys, I mean generic men and women that are up there. They count just like everybody else. So I always wonder, do they vote for a bill knowing that three are going to vote against it?
Yeah.
So I'm covered even though it doesn't get passed.
Yeah.
That's got to happen,
too. Senator McCain.
Here's my test. What do they say about the issue publicly? You've got a bunch of Republican senators up there, some of them who are up for election next year. They may vote the right way, but they never say a peep about the issue. They never come out strong like a Marsha Blackburn or Ted Cruz. They never come out strong for the issue. I think you're exactly right, Ed. They sit back and they say, okay, one, two, three, four. Yeah, we got three. We got Collins. We got Murkowski. We got McCain.
They'll doom the bill.
I can go home and I can tell the folks back home, hey, I voted for it.
Well, I'm good.
Here's my voting record.
You guys got to be mind readers then.
Well, that's true. And it may be unfair to characterize. I wouldn't want to be treated that way, but I also have to believe at least I couldn't pinpoint which people are doing it.
I can.
But I think that does go on. So I'm saying that's part of the mentality of the swamp. I can't say Senator so-and-so did that and thought about it, and that's why he or she voted the way they did. But I've got to believe that goes on.
Listen, I sit in the newsroom over there, and I get press releases from certain senators. And the only press releases I get from them is, got a grant to extend a runway in Timbuktu, in my state. That's it. That's the only time. You try to get a hold of them on the phone, do an interview, nothing.
Yeah. Right.
Nothing. Those are the ones I'm suspecting.
Off the top of my head, I can name eight who are anti-Trump, not Republicans, under a Republican name.
Mm-hmm.
You have John McCain. You have Mitch McConnell. You have Dean Heller. You have Jeff Flake. You have Bob Corker. You have Susan Collins. You have Lisa Murkowski. That's seven.
Mm-hmm. I tell you what, people, Walker knows where you live. So if I'm a senator who's with the swamp establishment, Walker's already...
Huh? I'm taking names.
Swamp names. People, coming to your corner.
We'll be back in 3 minutes.
On the next Today's Issues.
Walker Wildman is handling our Facebook presence in the world.
Yeah, if you have a Facebook account, just type in Today's Issues in your search bar, and then our page will pop up. And you can watch the show there every day. or you can view all the articles that we talk about.
Right, but you can also be our friend.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
I am a convicted felon, and while I was in prison, I kept thinking to myself, what am I going to do if I run into the old gang? I was a crackhead, and I knew that if I ran into them, I was going to be weak. And each time I would run into somebody, ASR was playing in my car, and something would come on that would deter me away from going back.
I just want to thank you for being such an encouragement. There's been times that I felt pretty down and low and dumb, and I could hear a good word of encouragement coming from someone from AFR, and I wanted to say thank you so much, and I appreciate the praise and worship that exalts the name of Jesus Christ, and I just give God thanks that He inhabits the praises of His people.
Ensure that we impact even more lives by partnering with us during our three-day Share-a-thon starting October 17th. Listener-supported American Family Radio, for your family.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Since 1971, Liberty University's values have been defined by a commitment to excellence and a biblical worldview. Their mission of training champions for Christ has remained the foundation of everything they do. It's that mission that propels Liberty students to excellence in the classroom and beyond. More than 550 programs of study from undergrad to doctoral degrees, effectively preparing students to enter a competitive job market. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. That's liberty.edu. Harvey Weinstein's predatory behavior was not exactly the best-kept secret in Hollywood. In fact, it was no secret at all. The rich and the beautiful and the powerful turned a blind eye to the sexual predator in their midst, and so did the mainstream media. Hollywood's depravity should not be much of a surprise. It's how they make their living, churning out pornography and perversion on movie screens and television screens across the country. These days, Hollywood makes Sodom and Gomorrah look like a Sunday school picnic. Now, before all you folks get too high and mighty, just remember your ticket stubs enable their debauchery. Hollywood's only feeding the nation's insatiable appetite for 50 shades of filth. So politicians like the Clintons and the Obamas and the so-called defenders of women's rights can spare us their righteous indignation. When they took Harvey Weinstein's money, they knew exactly who they were jumping into bed with. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
And welcome back to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano, Tim Wildman, Fred Jackson, Walker Wildman. Walker, tell our listeners a little bit what we're doing Facebook-wise.
Well, we are on Facebook. I cannot say right now that we're live streaming. We're having some technical difficulties. So we're not live streaming on Facebook, if you're wondering. But I will be trying to post the stories as soon as possible. So stay tuned on the Today's Issues Facebook page for that.
Have we been live any time this half hour we've been talking?
We have not, to be honest.
Well, not live on Facebook. We've been live talking.
I know that. So people have been frustrated, and you can't even read their Facebook frustration.
That's right.
Because you can't even see it.
They wanted to see us.
Yep.
They wanted to watch us.
This is the second time it's happened last week.
Yeah. Must be the Russians.
Collusion. The Russians are colluding with the Democrats.
Our North Korea. They've hacked
And the Arcadians
the,
are
I
in there, too.
Say the liberals, the progressives. The Acadians.
They're in that mix, too. That's what Robert Mueller, that's his family background.
Acadian.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't know that.
Sounds like a German name.
German Acadian.
All right. German Acadians.
All right, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, American Family Radio. I'm Tim with Ed and Walker and Fred Jackson. We were just talking about how many Senate seats are up next year. Of course, one-third every 2 years of the U.S. Senate is up for election. And as we mentioned, the Democrats have twice as much.
23
plus two independents that caucus.
They almost have two. They almost have three times as many at risk as do Republicans. And at some point in the future, we'll go down through the list because I'd like to know how many are safe states in that process. Because, I mean, after all, let's face it, safe states exist for a Democrat's not going to win in Mississippi, for example. A Republican's not going to win in California, for example. There are states that you're pretty well locked in on which party is going to win that election. So that would be, but there are states that have Democrat senators where President Trump won. So that's the ones that the Democrats are really nervous about. Those states that President Trump won, but get their Democrat states typically. So that will be interesting to follow and to watch. And the one issue, again, that's going to become more and more an issue, because President Trump's going to make it more and more of an issue. And and we've talked about it before, I'm not going to bore you with it again, except to say this, the filibuster, or the 60-vote threshold, where you require 8 Democrats to get anything passed in the Senate. President Trump's getting tired of that. He's been tired of it. And he says it needs to go. And he says it's a death sentence for the Republican Party if they keep it. So the Republican Party so far, the senators, have decided to keep the filibuster, or to, I consider it, handcuff themselves. They wouldn't phrase it that way, by allowing 8 Democrats to block everything they want to do legislatively. So we'll see what happens with that. How long will the Republican Party go allowing the Democrats to block them at every single turn and be good with that? Because I think the people out in the hinterland out here who want to see something done legislatively on President Trump's agenda are not buying the filibuster as being a good thing anymore. And I did see quotes from Senator Richard Shelby of Alabama, and he said that we need to get rid of the 60-vote filibuster because he said the Democrats are going to do it as soon as they get an opportunity. Mm-hmm. He said they're going to do it, so we might as well go ahead and do it.
Yep,
I agree with him. Mm-hmm. Senator Cruz said the same thing. Mm-hmm. So there are a few Republican senators, although not a majority, who think it's time to move forward.
And that's not guesswork, Tim.
What's
Harry Reid did.
Right.
When Harry Reid was Senate Majority Leader, he said, well, we're going to have to go to get rid of the filibuster because we got a bunch of judges here, Obama-nominated judges that we want to push through. And they pushed through, over 300 judges over the 8 years that Obama was president?
Abraham Hamilton III is with us. Abe is a public policy analyst for the American Family Association. He's also the host of the Hamilton Corner each afternoon here on American Family Radio, 5:05 Central Time. Hope you'll, if you haven't tuned in to Abe's new show, relatively new show, hope you will. He's here every afternoon at 5:05 Central Time. Abe, good morning to you, brother.
Good morning. Good morning, guys.
Hey, where do we stand? You don't even know what I'm going to ask you here. But the judges, Fred just mentioned the judges. Do you know where we stand in terms of President Trump's, you know, the president gets to announce, the president, whoever he may be, gets to appoint, according to our Constitution, federal judges.
Yes.
Including the Supreme Court. Because we don't have a vacancy on the Supreme Court now.
Not currently.
But now the federal court system mm-hmm. all across America, you could argue, is just as important as the Supreme Court. Because these judges, the Supreme Court only hears 2% mm-hmm. of cases that are brought before them. So most of the decisions, the vast majority of decisions that affect our country, are made by the federal judiciary out across the country. So how we stand as far as President Trump being able to appoint those guys,
it's embarrassingly slow, embarrassingly slow. There are currently, last I checked, 143 vacancies. Vacancies. These are not potential openings. They are 143 federal judicial seats.
There's a courtroom without a judge in it.
143 of them across the country.
Wow, is that a crisis almost?
It is a crisis. It contributes to the backlog of cases And it also contributes to having a far narrower amount of judges weighing in on issues. So just to bring it to bear, the Supreme Court hears only about 100 cases a year. That's it. The appellate courts hear about over 35,000 a year. So the overwhelming majority of legal cases in the country that are filed in the federal court system will be resolved by appellate and district court judges. When you have, and we all remember when President Obama promised the fundamental transformation of America, not many people were aware of how he planned to do so. Well, we now know he used his pen and his phone, but the most lasting component, the lasting legacy of his fundamental transformation is the judiciary. Mm-hmm. When he took office, only one of the 13 appellate courts in the country were dominated by regressive, liberal, secular progressive judges. After he left, 70%. 70% of the federal judiciary, the courts across our country are dominated by progressives. So the longer you have President Trump's administration going without filling the vacancies, the longer you
allow. But
it's not
President Trump's fault.
Exactly.
Explain this. Because you said it's embarrassingly slow.
Yes.
Okay. It's up to the president to appoint, and he's been appointed.
And he's made at least 50 nominations that have not gotten any traction.
Is this a Senate alone?
It is the Senate alone, because the Senate is the sole body in Congress trusted.
Okay, what's the problem?
The swamp lives in the Republican Party, that, quite frankly, because you have a Republican majority in the Senate, but they're allowing the rules of the Senate to serve as trap doors for the president's nominations. And I have a question. Since these rules are so hallowed, where were these blue slip rules and 30-hour debate requirements when President Obama was ramroding judicial nominations?
Republicans didn't use those rules.
Not in the least amount, which brings back to the original conversation we had. Why is it that Republicans are willing to allow Democrats to outmaneuver them at every turn? When you have Republican minorities under President Obama, there were no blue slip and 30-hour requirements prohibiting his nominations.
Okay, let me just make a point right here. Folks, when you the anger, if you will, at the Republican leadership, particularly in the Senate, Mitch McConnell, it's not abstract. It's not pulled out of thin air. When the skepticism and the doubtfulness comes come to the conclusion that maybe Mitch McConnell is not on our side after all. Maybe he's for some reason on the other side, he's wanting to slow down these nominations. I mean, you have to think these things. After a while, you go, my word. So these rules, these Senate rules, by the way, Mitch McConnell has an 18% approval rating in the state of Kentucky right now, or at least he did a month ago, for reasons like we've talked about right here. You just wonder why the Republicans won't stand up to the Democrats, and let's get, as they say, get some things done, like get these judges appointed to the bench.
Some are rules and some are just traditions, like the whole blue slip tradition.
Right.
What it is, you have two senators from each state. The courts that are housed in a particular state, the Senate allows the U.S. senators from that state to say yay or nay to allowing a nominee to advance to the full Senate for a vote. Well, the question in that regard is, why would a senator in one state, when the judges would govern not merely that state, like for the Fifth Circuit, for example, it governs Louisiana, Texas, and Mississippi. Mm-hmm. Why should Louisiana senators be able to prohibit a judge coming to the bench in the Fifth Circuit that's going to govern all these states?
Right.
It doesn't make any
sense. One senator can do
that? One senator. If you don't get blue slips from both senators, that delays that nominee being brought.
And that's happening.
It is happening right now.
And one other thing, here's the problem, folks. The Republican leadership in the Senate is allowing this to go on. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. That's angering a lot of people at the, quote, establishment, and that's slowing everything down. It's hurting our country. It's hurting the president's accomplishment list.
Yes.
And sometimes you scratch your head and you go, why does it seem like we're fighting our own people?
And they're slow walking it intentionally. They want to drag it out as long as they can.
Why?
Because they're hoping they can get the president out of office without him having too much impact on our national system.
You think the Republican establishment?
No, the Republican establishment?
I do. I think the Republican establishment is working alongside the Democrats in Congress to thwart the president at every turn.
Well, what I was going to just add into the discussion is, because it's not just the judges. We're talking about the administration as well, And just to put a number on this, one estimate shows that at this rate, it would take 11 years to get all of President Trump's nominees confirmed. 11 years.
11 years.
Now, that is the obvious. Clearly, the Democratic strategy would be, and they said this after he was elected, we're going to resist, resist, resist. Everywhere, at every turn, we're going to try to undermine and stall President Trump, delay so that he doesn't get anything passed or anything done. And what's sad is, for whatever reason, Republicans seem to be more in love with the rules of the Senate than they are getting anything done. And it may very well have to do with the animosity a lot of them feel towards the president personally.
And pardon me for being cynical, but I don't think they're in love with the rules that much. Because if they were, why didn't they use them when President Obama was in office?
Right.
Since the rules are such...
To do the same thing to him that the Dems are doing to the Trump now.
If these are such treasured and hallowed traditions and rules, why is that?
Here's my theory long term. I believe that the Republican establishment, the swamp, the political elites don't want President Trump's judicial nominees, because that would mean that there's constitutionalists and conservatives on the bench for years forward. Mm-hmm. The Republicans naturally lean left on social issues, the establishment that is. They like to point at the Supreme Court and federal judges as the problem, but they like them because they put the blame, just like the Supreme Court, the whole marriage issue. All the Republicans had their press releases ready to praise the Supreme Court. It's the law of the land. The highest court has spoken. And they blame it on them. They say, well, it's the Supreme Court. We can't control it. Well, this is your chance to control it. The judiciary.
Okay.
Your chance to put conservatives who rule in favor of the Constitution on the federal bench. And what they're doing is they're waiting on Trump to be out of office and Hillary Clinton, like a Democrat, to be in office. Then they're gonna speed up this federal process and put lefties all over the country. And then when there's bad rulings that they actually like,
is that why Steve Bannon's so upset?
Yes, and then when there's bad rulings that they in closed doors like open borders.
Okay.
They go, well, federal judge, I'm sorry. Okay. Anything about it?
I got it. We need to move on to another topic, but here's the situation. Is the tension now between the president and Mitch McConnell and the Republican leadership is thick. And I don't blame President Trump, because for the reasons Abe just mentioned and Ed talked about, you have these arcane Senate rules that clog up everything. These rules are not in the Constitution of the United States. They were added later. They're adopted Senate rules. Both parties agreed on them. That is, these rules that you could argue were good sometime back in history. They had their place. They were designed to slow down everything. But now they are used to abuse the will of the people and the system and the will of the majority. And here's the problem. It appears that the Republican leadership is in favor of allowing the Democrats to block everything President Trump is trying to do, including the federal judges. But the Republican leadership wants to blame the rules. Well, these are just the Senate rules, and so we can't change the Senate rules, and until they're changed, then the Democrats are allowed to do what they're doing, which is clog up everything and block everything and impede everything. So then your follow-up question, which is never asked, rarely asked, to these Republican leaders is, well, sir, you have the majority. You could change the rules and not allow the Democrats to do this. Is that true? Yeah. But we don't have the will. Why don't you have the will to change the rules so that we can get things done? Well, because here's what they'll say. One day we're going to be in the minority again, and we're going to wish we had the ability to block the Democrats. So therefore, we're not for changing the rules. And as we've said here before, as Richard Shelby from Alabama said, as Ted Cruz said, as Harry Reid from Nevada said, once the Democrats get an opportunity to change the rules to benefit themselves, these same rules that the Republicans won't change because they think that the Democrats are people of goodwill, then the Democrats will change the rules to their own benefit, and the filibuster will be done away with, and these arcane rules like the blue slip rules. So these are rules of the Senate that are stopping President Trump, and he knows that. He said four or five times they need to be changed. Well, Mitch McConnell and the Republicans in the Senate won't change them. That does beg the question, why? Why? Why won't you change them so that we can get some things done? And if I can make a conspiracy theory here, okay, this is broad and general, I understand that, but sometimes when things are inexplicable, there's money behind it. There's money somewhere.
Follow the money.
Well, you can't follow it. A lot of times you can't follow it. That's the problem. So when things happen that are inexplicable, like the Republican establishment won't allow the president's agenda to go forward or be voted on, and yet they want to blame the rules and blame the Democrats when they could do something about both of those things, then you scratch your head and you go, maybe there's something I don't see here. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's big money in Washington, D.C. that changes hands that would explain why people do things that really don't seem to their advantage or to the advantage of the people who they say they're supporting or they're in favor of. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Have y'all ever been we've all been a part of things in our life where you go, I wonder why he did that. That doesn't make any sense. It could be in business, or it could be in a church relationship, or it could be in a family relationship, and you go, wonder why they did that. That doesn't make any sense. And then you later learn, well, that person got money from the person, and they decided not to do something they otherwise would have done. You see what I'm saying?
I see exactly what you're saying.
Go ahead,
and I don't think it's extremely conspiratorial when you see, you want to talk about a transfer of wealth, when you see the wealthiest counties in America move away from mainstream America to where you have Washington, D.C. and its suburbs as the wealthiest areas in the country.
So there's a lot of money.
What products are produced there? I mean, please tell me. What right. invention? What?
Yeah, it's not
please.
Silicon Valley.
It's not Silicon Valley. That should tell us something. And you have these people willing to protect the highway to wealth transfer, which is Washington, D.C.
You know, you would be surprised at the public information you could find. If you just go to the campaign finance forms, which there's a whole website, Federal Election Commission. You go to their website and just type in a candidate or a PAC or a campaign. You can find that even many Republicans receive money from the Human Rights Campaign. Many Republicans.
The largest and most influential homosexual lobby group.
Right, right. So you wonder, that's public information. Why the Republican Party platform is clear on the definition of marriage, and that's between one man and one woman. So why are they receiving campaign money from the largest left-leaning homosexual advocacy group? Well, maybe that's because they don't believe in natural marriage.
Right. Not all of them. Some Republicans.
Some. I can get a list for you.
Right.
Mainly the Tuesday group.
The liberal Republicans.
Yeah, their PAC gets HRC.
I think there's another element in this as well. You look at Republican Democrat senators who have been up there for a long time. They're buddies. Mm-hmm. They go to lunch together.
Mm-hmm. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours.
Mitch McConnell, Chuck Schumer, they're good buddies. Mm. They're not going to ruffle each other's feathers.
And they
McCain. Remember what John McCain said when he voted against the latest attempt to repeal Obamacare? He said, "I want a bipartisan solution."
McCain said that?
McCain said that. Because he had the big vote. He said, "Hey, watch what I'm going to do. Watch the show," or something like that.
Yeah, that's when he dumbed down it.
He said, "I want a bipartisan solution." He's good buddies with Chuck Schumer. He didn't want to ruffle the Democrat feathers. Mm. So you've got that element. That all goes into this equation.
Well, hey, you know, here's what John McCain, Senator McCain, "I want a bipartisan solution to repealing and replacing," not that that bill they were voting on was actually doing that, but let's just pretend like it was.
Pretending. That's pretending. Not when we
think
about
Washington. It was doing a slight pullback from Obamacare, but not anything major. But the problem, Senator McCain, is that you somehow think you're going to get Democrats to support something that overturns Obamacare? What planet are you living on?
When Democrats passed it without a single Republican on board.
So, I mean,
they weren't after bipartisan.
You got a kumbaya dream world there, Senator McCain. That's what you got. And so, anyway, Senator McCain, by the way, is he up for?
No, he just got reelected with President Trump.
Jeff Flake is up.
Okay.
And McConnell just got reelected. That's why he's not sweating his 18% approval rating. He has 6 years.
That's true.
To prove what you're saying, President Trump just basically offered DACA. He offered a form of legalization for illegal immigrants in exchange for border control. And the Democrats said, nope, we're not even coming to the table.
Yep.
Have they already rejected
They said, and we're not going to rule out a government shutdown over this.
Nancy Pelosi said.
We might use a government shutdown to get
DACA.
And
why would they come to the table? Because they know they have the Senate wrapped around their pinky fingers.
Right. That's right. This is the frustration level building with the Republican establishment, especially the Senate leadership, is about the lid on the kettle that's about to come off? What metaphor?
Oh, first you want to make fun of my metaphors, and now you want me to come up with them.
Can I buy a metaphor from you, or is that a vowel I need to buy? What's about to come off the kettle? If it's on the stove.
Okay,
and
now is this the kettle with the frog in it that's being boiled slowly?
Somebody help me! Y'all see me struggling here. Nobody's helping me.
Out of the frying pan into the
kettle,
fire.
What's the kettle got on top of it, and it blows because it's boiling?
Its lid.
The lid. Thank you.
Okay. You want me to say lid? Okay, lid.
Okay. The lid on the kettle is about to come off.
Oh, that makes my blood crawl.
It makes my skin boil. Okay.
Are they making fun of me, Fred?
No, we can mix. We can mix metaphors.
I hope we're not live right now.
We are live.
We are. They got it.
I think. You know, I was trying to make a serious point. All you guys can do is laugh. Get your little laughter in at my struggle on the metaphor.
Listen, we're laughing because the only alternative is crying.
Crying. You don't want to do that.
No.
There's no crying.
There's no crying in baseball or on the air.
Or talk radio.
Yeah.
Okay. But the frustration level at the Republican establishment, especially in the Senate, is growing among the masses out here across the country. These are the people who voted for President Trump. And they're seeing how the game's played. And they're not liking it. And you know what I'm saying? And Steve Bannon, like him or not, represents that frustration. Mm-hmm. And he's saying, you know what? We're going to war with these guys. We're not going to let them get away with playing these games any longer. We're gonna pull back the curtains on the stage and show everybody what's really going on here.
Yeah.
So, all right. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio. Abe, what do you got coming up this afternoon on your show?
Well, I talked yesterday a good deal about the guidance issued by Jeff Sessions following President Trump's executive order on religious liberty, so I may wade into that a little bit more today.
Okay, that's this afternoon at 5:05 Central Time.
Yes, sir.
On American Family Radio. Join Abe Hamilton for his program. Walker, Ed, yours truly, and Fred. Well, Fred's you're going back to your office, aren't you?
Yes. Steve is coming in.
Steve Jordahl. Mm-hmm. Steve Jordahl will be with us the next half hour as we continue looking at what's happening in the world of news, including the NFL, where the commissioner of the NFL says it's time for everybody to stand up for the national anthem. I think the old pocketbook's being hurt there in the home office.
But now the lid is about to blow off the pot.
Okay, we'll be back with more metaphors in a minute.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.